All right, thank you for coming this afternoon. Today I'll be talking about part of my dissertation research at Virginia Tech, and I'd like to start by acknowledging my co-authors and advisors, Tom Fox and John Seiler, as well as our source of funding, the NSF Center for Advanced Forestry Systems, and we'd also like to acknowledge the FBRC for donating the clonal material we used in the trial I'll be discussing today. So I'll give you a very brief background on loblolly pine. I know most of you are already very familiar with this species, but we have a relatively large plantation acreage spread across the southeastern United States that accounts for a substantial portion of our national timber production. And we apply a number of different silvicultural treatments to these plantations to increase productivity. Chief among them is forest fertilization. Currently, we're fertilizing about 1.6 million acres annually with primarily nitrogen and phosphorus to improve growth rates. And in the last decade or so, we've also started to see the operational deployment of clones produced through a technology called somatic embryogenesis. And by deploying clones, we can both improve growth rates by capturing the genetic variants of truly high-performing exceptional individuals and propagate them over a large land base. And additionally, we can constrain our genetic variants within a plantation and have more uniform plantations. And to give you an idea of how big clonal forestry has gotten at this point in time, between the two companies producing clones last year, or this year, they produced somewhere on the order of 5 to 10 million ramets, or trees, which if planted at typical densities would cover a land area of about 20 to 40 square miles. So still fairly small, but we expect those numbers to ramp up as these companies increase their ability to produce clonal material. I'll start by showing you a data slide here that leads right into our research questions I'll be discussing today. This is from the trial I'll be discussing today. I'll give you more on the trial specifics in a moment. But what we see here on the x-axis is 22 different clones, and on the y-axis we have stem volume. And for each of these clones, we have the non-fertilized mean here in yellow and the fertilized mean here in green. So what we've done is looking at the year 3 through year 6, this is the year 6 graph, repeated measures analysis, we see a statistically significant clone by fertilizer interaction. And what we're seeing here is different clones are responding to fertilizer differently. So to kind of break that out, if we look at just the two most high-performing clones, we see that this one right here shows very minimal increase in growth rates with fertilization. It's not very responsive to fertilizer. It's basically big whether fertilized or unfertilized. Contrasted with this clone here that shows almost a doubling, about an 80% increase in stem volume when fertilized as compared to unfertilized. So not only is this interaction statistically significant, but it appears to be biologically and probably economically significant as well. So we observed this in this trial and began asking ourselves, what are the physiological processes that may be occurring that allow some clones to respond so well to fertilizer application and other clones to show basically very minimal or no response at all? And one of our hypotheses was that the clones may be altering their biomass partitioning differently, and that may in turn explain why some can get bigger with fertilizer and others not. This is stem volume, so if certain clones allocate less to roots with fertilizer, more to stem, that could explain why some are getting bigger. So to give you more background on this trial, this trial was located at the Reynolds Homestead Experimental Station in the kind of northwestern range of the Piedmont in southwestern Virginia, you see here on the map. And the soils are typical for the Piedmont. It's a Fairview series, which is a typic Canhapple-Udalt. And we installed in 2003 a split plot experimental design, with the split plot treatment being 22 different clones from the FBRC sea clones population, and the whole plot treatment being two levels of fertilization, no fertilizer application, or a combination of diammonium phosphate and ammonium nitrate at a rate equivalent to 90 kilograms per hectare per application of both elemental nitrogen and phosphorus, applied three times since planting. And in February 2009, earlier this year, at age 6, we destructively harvested the above-ground portion of this trial. We selected 10 clones out of that full set of 22 I showed you to break down the biomass partitioning on. So we cut them down and broke them up in the field, and here we got them all into trash bags and plastic bags, and then proceeded to fill a 26-foot U-Haul basically all the way up and drove it up to Blacksburg, where we spent about a month picking the needles off and partitioning the above-ground portion into branch, needle, and stem components. We went back in March then and harvested the below ground portion of this trial, and down here you see the tool we primarily use. This is an air knife or air spade. It's a pretty fun tool if you've never used one. You basically hook up a pipe with a trigger to a large industrial air compressor, and then you shoot air into the soil at Mach 1.6. And it basically destroys the soil structure, the ground heaves up under you, and you're wearing a face mask because it throws a lot of dirt right back in your face. And what's really interesting about it is it really doesn't do anything to the roots. Even fine roots like a millimeter in diameter will show almost no effect of air spading. It'll just, if your soil moisture conditions are in the right zone, it'll break up the soil structure, make it very easy to dig, and it won't do anything to the fine roots really. Now, our sampling protocol, you see all our holes here in this photo. We dug a hole 1 meter in diameter and 1 meter deep around each tap root. And there are a couple of caveats here. So we got all the above ground biomass. We obviously did not get all the below ground biomass. 1 meter in depth was sufficient to get most of the tap root, but we missed, obviously, any lateral roots beyond that 1 meter diameter. So the root shoot ratios I'll be presenting to you today are biased a little low, but they are still a consistent and accurate treatment index, which is what we're focusing on here. Additionally, these are single tree clonal plots, and we want to look at the clonal effect and the clone by fertilizer interaction. And so we really could only take roots that were still attached to the tap root here because these were fairly close spacing, 2.5 by 3 meters, and they were rooting into each other. And so we couldn't sieve the soil because we didn't know what clone those roots would have come from. And as a result of this, we really couldn't do a good job sampling the fine roots. So all the data I'll be presenting today is not fine root data. It's specifically coarse root data. So that's an important caveat. Now, these are the 10 clones we harvested. This is whole tree dry mass on the y-axis. And right off the bat, we see we do have a significant interaction in these 10 clones in terms of whole tree biomass. P-value is 0.057. And you see some clones like this one here that are responding dramatically with fertilization and others like these that aren't. And so we do have the interaction here, is mainly what I wanted to show you with this slide. And what I'm going to do is when discussing partitioning, I'm going to compare first these two clones right here, because I think we can draw an interesting story out of comparing just these two to start with. So when we look at biomass partitioning, this graph shows the relative partitioning. So each bar sums to 1 because it's proportion of the total tree biomass. Below ground biomass is down here below the axis, and above ground biomass is up here. And we have needle, branch, stem, taproot, and lateral root components. And so what we found is a statistically significant clonal effect. The clones are different in their partitioning, as you can see on this graph. There was no significant fertilizer or fert by irrigation, or sorry, fert by clone interactions here. And those statistics are for all 5 of these biomass components. So each of the 5 biomass components differ between clones, but they didn't change with fertilization, basically. So when we go to compare these two clones of interest right here, you see this clone on the left had a much greater allocation to stem biomass, much less to branch and needle above ground, and they had fairly similar allocation, relatively speaking, to below ground biomass. Now, when we look at the same data, but now in absolute terms, so now our y-axis has changed to kilograms of dry mass, you get an even more interesting story emerging here. All the statistics are the same here. So we have a clonal effect, no fertilizer effect, no clone by fertilizer interaction for each of our 5 biomass components. And when you look at these two clones of interest, you see from an economic standpoint, they have the exact same stem volume. So in terms of harvesting these trees, you're getting the exact same amount of boll out of both of them. But they're doing it in completely different ways. They have different taproot allocation, different lateral root allocation, different branch allocation, and dramatically different needle allocation, more than double on this larger biomass clone here on the right. And so you see same stem volume, but they're doing it in completely different ways. So this is pretty interesting. Then we went and looked at the root shoot ratios, and as you would expect, the statistics show the same story as with the previous two partitioning slides. There is a clonal effect, no fertilizer effect, no clone by fertilizer interaction. I've shown you the FERT response here, and you can see there was one clone, perhaps, where fertilizer altered the root shoot ratio, but overall, the error bars overlap the means, so no real effect there. When we look at our two clones of interest, if you'll remember, this clone right here was the larger clone, and it has a very low root shoot ratio contrasted with the higher root shoot ratio of this clone that had a smaller biomass production, but the same stem mass production. So now I wanted to go through the same set of graphs one more time and compare two different clones, because we have another really interesting set of treatments, so to speak, in this trial, in that these 10 clones represent two random clones, but then four sets of full SIB pairs. So these two clones right here have the same parents. These two clones right here have the same parents. These two clones right here, and these two clones right here. So you can see, even if they come from the exact same cross, two different clones, two different genetic individuals, can be dramatically different, as these two are in terms of total biomass, and they can be dramatically different, as these two are, in terms of fertilizer response. So it's fairly interesting. So looking at those two clones, you see that, again, we just looked at 43915, and we saw that it had relatively high partitioning to needle and branch components, and relatively low partitioning below ground. When you look at this clone over here that's full SIB to it, you see an enormous allocation to stem volume from relative standpoint, highest of all 10, little allocation to branch and needle, and a larger allocation below ground, particularly in the taproot fraction. When we look at this comparison on an absolute basis, you see that while this smaller clone right here is about half the total biomass of this larger clone, its stem volume is only about 3/4. So because it proportionally allocated so much more to stem biomass, it's doing relatively well productive-wise compared to this clone that's putting on way more biomass from an economic standpoint. And when we look, it had that higher relative allocation to below ground biomass, so it still has quite a large taproot fraction here given its small size compared to the much larger clone over here. And we can see that again with the root shoot ratios, where this has a much higher root shoot ratio than did this much larger clone. Okay, so what conclusions can we draw from all this data? When you looked at that, our original hypothesis that the clones may be altering their biomass partitioning with respect to fertilization, we didn't support that. We more or less disproved it. There was no fertilizer effect on biomass partitioning in this trial. But the huge caveat there is we were not looking at fine roots. We saw talk this morning by Jason Vogel, and he showed that there were significant effects of fertilizer application on fine root biomass, and we see that throughout the literature. So that's not what we're discussing here. We're only discussing the coarse root fraction due to our sampling limitations. We did, however, find just tremendous variability in the biomass partitioning across different clones, and even within full SIB pairs of clones. So depending on the clone you select and deploy in a clonal block, it could do dramatically different things on very similar sites. And they may respond differently across a gradient of sites. This leads us to another hypothesis. We saw that these clones didn't seem to alter their biomass partitioning in response to fertilizer, and that didn't explain the clone by fertilizer interaction in terms of stem volume production. But perhaps these fundamentally different biomass partitioning patterns between the clones may enable one clone to better exploit fertilizer application relative to another clone. So while fertilizer doesn't change the partitioning, the different partitionings may enable different clones to act differently in different resource environments. And there also seem to be some profound implications here if clonal block plots become very widespread for our carbon budgeting and for our sequestration efforts. If you're planning different clonal blocks in relatively large blocks, or even, you know, small blocks but across large acreages, we may need to take account these different root shoot ratios between clones when we're working up carbon allocation studies. So I'd like to thank the many people who helped with needle picking and hole digging. I'd still be out there digging were it not for the help of all these folks, and I'd be happy to take any questions anyone may have.
Those trees at an equivalent scale of development, do you think that you'd see the
Okay, I guess I have a twofold answer for you on that. We would have liked to use the regression approach to see, regress basically organ size versus total tree mass, and see if the slopes of those regressions fundamentally change with the treatment difference, which would have teased out whether it was a developmental difference or a partitioning difference. But our sample size for each clone by fertilizer treatment was only 3 or 4, and I'm not comfortable comparing regressions with that few data points. I think it wouldn't have been very robust, basically. So we can't actually tease that out from this data, but to answer your question, I mean, measuring a lot of different loblolly pine clones and looking at these clones, roots, shoots, everything, they really do appear to be fundamentally different animals. I mean, you can find some clones that have enormous angled branches with a tiny tuft of needles at the end, and there's other clones where you can barely measure DBH on them because they're like a Christmas tree. So I would argue that this is likely more due to fundamental differences between the clones in biomass partitioning, but there may be, particularly in the root-shoot ratio, some extent, some effects that we're seeing due to development. Yes?